Part 1, The Mind and the Body. Preface, A Future Beyond Our Wildest Dreams. Since the dawn of self-awareness on Earth, we have been inexorably driven to ask the big questions. Who am I? Where did I come from? How did I get here? And where am I going? Various teachers have come along who claimed to have the answers, and the differences of opinion on these overwhelmingly profound concepts have led to many of the greatest sorrows and atrocities in recorded history. Nonetheless, consistent themes emerge in almost all spiritual traditions, including the idea that the universe is not made of dead and inert matter, but is rather a living, conscious being. This superintelligence, we are told, has woven the strands of space, time, energy, matter, biology, and consciousness together in its own image. Despite the vastness of the universe, we all apparently have a personal connection to this majestic identity. And we will live on long past the death of our physical bodies. Most spiritual teachings also say we will eventually reunite with this oneness. And even when we walk in complete ignorance of these greater realities, a hidden spiritual curriculum is influencing our lives and will eventually guide us back home. We also consistently hear that benevolent superbeings, such as Jesus, Buddha, Krishna, and others, have directly intervened in Earth's history to help show us the way to this greater truth. As Graham Hancock, Zechariah Sitchin, and others have reported, many of the oldest cultures speak of gods who gave them practical assistance, written language, mathematics, astronomy, agriculture, animal husbandry, ethics, law, and architecture, including massive stone edifices built out of impossibly heavy, multi-ton blocks, which apparently served some useful purpose. Despite the immense difficulty in duplicating these feats, even with today's technology, these megalithic structures appear all over the world. In our own modern era, the awe-inspiring origins of major world religions and spiritual traditions are usually written off as mythology and superstition. Due to the seemingly irresolvable differences between these various philosophical systems and our ever-increasing desire for information that is provable, science has replaced religion as the ultimate arbiter of truth in many people's minds, and this formerly majestic, wonderful view of a divine cosmos has been dismissed. The universe has become a giant collection of dead, empty stuff. Our minds, thoughts, and emotions, not to mention all the richness and diversity of species on this planet, are now seen to be the result of sheer coincidence and happenstance in an otherwise unthinking, unfeeling, infinitely cold and depressing void. We have nothing to live for, nothing to look forward to after we die, and even the need for ethics or morality at all becomes a subject of healthy philosophical debate. If we know we can't escape death, and all we have is this one chance to exist, then why not devote our lives to the pursuit of as much pleasure as we can find? Why not throw ourselves fully and completely into a hedonistic lust for money, power, and privilege, and hope we can then pass on these same benefits to our children, who are created from our own bodies? The more we think we know, the more lonely our lives seem to be. The magic has been stripped away. We have no special abilities or mystical powers. We have nothing to look forward to after we die. We have no one else in the universe to meet. And before we ever even get the chance to travel out into space on any sustainable basis, we may all perish in a planetary catastrophe, either by our own weapons of mass destruction or by natural causes we apparently have no ability to control or prevent. A seemingly endless lineup of big-budget disaster movies entertains audiences by threatening the Earth with total annihilation. You may now be listening to the prophets of doom a little more carefully, and might indeed be wondering if, in fact, all is well. If you have seen my YouTube documentary that was the genesis for this book, entitled 2012 Enigma, my website Divine Cosmos, or some of my television appearances, you probably know I do not believe our future is depressing, terrifying, or cataclysmic. Instead, I feel our destinies on Earth are being carefully and meticulously guided by a hidden intelligence, a living energy field the entire universe is built from. Many great researchers have independently discovered this unseen universal force and given it their own names without there ever being a single unifying standard. Since this force may well be the source of all space, time, matter, energy, biology, and consciousness in the universe, the simplest, all-inclusive term I use is the source field. This is not a book of philosophy, speculation, or wishful thinking. It is a vast synthesis of investigations into the source field. I'm standing on the shoulders of giants in writing this book, as the overwhelming majority of these findings was developed by PhDs from accredited universities who ended up discovering things that often put them at odds with their colleagues, employers, and much of the mainstream world. There are also many examples in which a scientist or research institute made one specific breakthrough that was released into the mainstream press, but the media did not see or understand how well it tied in with so many other related discoveries. In Russia, however, there has been a consistent, focused effort to investigate the source field since at least the 1950s. But until the fall of the Soviet Union in 1991, the vast majority of all these revelations were classified for national security. Over 10,000 papers investigating the source field were published by 1996 alone, with more than half of them from Russia. The implications of what they found are so staggering that I suspect you will be stunned by how much we already know about this unseen force, which influences absolutely everything we see, hear, do, and believe. It has taken me over 30 years of dedicated research to assemble this grand collection of data, and particularly since 1993, I've spent as many waking hours as possible in pursuit of this radical rethinking of science. After I became self-employed in the summer of 1998, I began working 14 hours a day, 7 days a week, researching and investigating the source field phenomena. After Brian Tart, the president of Dutton Books, contacted me and offered to publish this research, it took me almost 2 years of focused, concentrated effort to develop this book. When I finally started combining the very best of everything I had found into one single vision, a seemingly endless parade of stunning new connections emerged. If these breakthroughs become common knowledge and are developed into working technologies, and/or if existing technologies that use these principles are declassified and released to the public, we could end up in a world that rivals or exceeds our finest visionary science fiction films and novels. As I bring you on a guided tour into the deeper mysteries of space, time, energy, matter, biology, and consciousness, we will also explore subjects as fascinating as anti-gravity, dematerialization, teleportation, the parallel reality where time is three-dimensional, quantum geometry, natural vortex points on the Earth where ships and planes disappear, real-world examples of time travel, the Mayan calendar as a tool for calculating when these portals will open, and an analysis of how our galaxy is driving all the different cycles we experience for our own physical, biological, and spiritual evolution. The potential technological applications of this science are incredible. Furthermore, we may see a fundamental change in the nature of space and time itself as we fully cross over into this new zone of energy in the galaxy you will learn about. The source field is the key to unlock all of these mysteries and ultimately understand the big questions. Who are we? Where did we come from? How did we get here? And where are we going? Our journey into the source field investigations begins in the next chapter by exploring the work of Dr. Cleve Baxter, a pioneer who helped us understand the true nature of mind. We no longer need to remain ignorant about the structure, identity, and purpose of consciousness. It is not merely a biological phenomenon. It is written into the energy of the universe itself. David Wilcock, January 2011. Chapter 1, The Baxter Effect, Free Energy, and the Consequences. Could all space, time, energy, matter, biological life, and consciousness in the universe be the product of a source field? Is it possible that the ancient spiritual teachings and philosophies are correct when they say, as above, so below? What if everything we see in the visible universe is ultimately a crystallization of a vast mind, which has a singular identity and awareness? Might we be living in amnesia, going through experiences that will eventually guide us through a full awakening into the vastness of this infinite consciousness? The source field investigations must begin with compelling evidence that consciousness is not strictly trapped within our own brain and nervous system. We would need to see tangible proof that our thoughts are constantly interacting with our environment and having an effect upon our surroundings. If our concept of a source field is correct, then mind would become an energetic phenomenon that is not confined to biological life forms, but can pass between them through allegedly empty space. A variety of scientists and scholars in the Western world have made discoveries that reveal the existence of the source field, including controversial figures like Wilhelm Reich, who was a protege of Dr. Sigmund Freud, the father of psychology. Here, our source field investigations will begin with Dr. Cleve Baxter, who summarized his fascinating life's work in his recent book, Primary Perception. The Stunning Power of Hypnosis. While attending Rutgers University Prep School, Baxter was fascinated to hear his friend describe a hypnosis technique he just learned from his professor. Baxter decided to try to hypnotize his roommate with this technique, who soon fell into a very deep trance. Baxter then told him, "Now, I want you to open your eyes, but you're not going to wake up. I want you to go down the hall and get permission for late lights." In this prep school, the students could not have their lights on past 10 p.m. without special permission. Under hypnosis, Baxter's roommate then opened his eyes, got up, walked down the hall, and got permission for late lights from the professor on duty. He signed the log and returned to the room. When Baxter brought his roommate back out of hypnosis, he didn't even realize anything had happened to him. See, it doesn't work. This so-called hypnosis is a bunch of baloney. When they walked down to the on-duty professor, he confirmed that Baxter's roommate had just come and asked permission a few minutes earlier, but the roommate couldn't believe it was real. He was then shocked to discover his own signature in the late lights log. Baxter began researching hypnosis, reading as many books as he could find on the subject, which were not that many in the late 1930s, and performed additional successful experiments. After the devastating attack on Pearl Harbor in 1941, Baxter joined the military ROTC program at Texas A&M University. And there, he began making frequent demonstrations of hypnosis to larger audiences. Typically, about a third of his audience went into some stage of trance, and he picked the deepest subjects for more intensive work. One man was told he would not be able to see Baxter in the room for the next 30 minutes after he woke up. Indeed, once this subject was brought out of hypnosis, he could not see Baxter at all. Just to test how far this would go, Baxter picked up a cigarette and blew out some smoke, although he was not a smoker. This man saw the cigarette and the smoke levitating in the air, but he could not see anyone holding it, and he became very alarmed. He wanted to leave the room, but the audience compelled him to stay. After the 30 minutes, Baxter again reappeared to him. He followed his post-hypnotic commands perfectly, with no conscious memory of what he had been told to do. My own introduction into the powers of hypnosis came after I had a dramatic, out-of-body experience. When I was only 5 years old, I woke up one night and found myself floating about 3 feet over my own body. That little boy in the bed was breathing normally. But if he was me, then who the heck was I? This quickly started to scare me, and as soon as I panicked, I snapped back into my body. For the next 2 years, I wished I could have another chance to explore this bold new frontier, but nothing happened. When I finally asked my mother how I could learn more about this, she took me down into the basement and suggested I read some books she had on ESP, extrasensory perception. The first one I read was Harold Sherman's How to Make ESP Work for You. Sherman said that when you hypnotize someone, you can get them to have an out-of-body experience like I had, with apparently stunning results. The deeper the state of trance, the more activated become the extrasensory faculties of the subject. Under these conditions, he can be instructed to leave the body and to visit a certain person or place, and to report on what he sees and hears.